The sun's supposed to shine in the Puget Sound region this weekend. If you want snow and sun, you should head to the Metau Valley in the North Cascades. You won't have to worry about grizzly bears. Very few grizzlies still live in those mountains. The federal government is devising a plan to restore them. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the National Park Service are taking public comment on how to do that. So might we see grizzlies roaming the mountains anytime soon? Well, Chris Morgan is the founder of Western Wildlife Outreach, formerly the Grizzly Bear Outreach Project. This nonprofit provides education about carnivores. Morgan told Ross Reynolds at one time there were hundreds of grizzly bears in the North Cascades.
It's really fascinating. If you look into some of the old historical records, you'll see facts like 3,000 to 4,000 hides were shipped out of this area in the late 1800s over just a 30-year period. Kind of unimaginable, given that we perhaps only have five or fewer grizzly bears left in the Cascades.
And that was the cause of their demise, was people hunting them for their skins?
Yeah, Lewis and Clark started heading west, and the further west they got, they started running into bigger bears that were brown in color and this concave facial profile and long claws, and they were the grizzly bears that they hadn't encountered further to the east. They'd only seen black bears up to then. And they encountered them and started to exterminate them, and there are some mind-blowing figures related to the number of bears in the lower 48. So the estimates are that about 200 years ago, there were probably 100,000 grizzly bears in the lower 48 alone. And today we have fewer than 2,000 of them left. So we have wiped out 90% of the grizzly bears that once roamed here.
So why restore grizzly bears to the North Cascades?
Bears represent something pretty wild and unique about our planet. So what they bring is this sense of the wild that I think we all need. And then they're really amazing umbrella species. So they represent what we need from the wild and what other species need from the wild. So by umbrella species, I think, you know, if you imagine a population of grizzly bears, maybe a large male grizzly bear perhaps needs 300, 400, 500 square miles that it uses. And it uses a whole variety of different habitats within that 300, 400, 500 square miles. So if you protect him and his neighboring bears, you're protecting all the resources, clean water, fresh air, natural resources that we all need.
Well, mama and papa grizzly bears will have baby grizzly bears, but you're not talking about waiting around for that. What's the proactive element of restoring grizzly bears?
Yeah, sometimes they're left to their own devices, but that hasn't gone very well in the Cascades. They breed very, very slowly. So a female bear might have a couple of cubs every 3 or 4 years. Half of those cubs die in the first year of life. So then bouncing back, there's no bouncing back when it comes to grizzly bear reproduction. They're the slowest reproducing mammal in North America, other than the muskoxen. So that means that these bears will need help when it comes to restoring this population. If there are 5 or fewer or 20 or fewer bears there, they'll need to be added to. So it would be a small number of bears over a certain number of years, and that's for the government to decide, partly through this process that they've just started.
So how do you add them beyond just bears doing what bears do? I mean, do you breed them in captivity and release them, or how do you increase their numbers?
Yeah, good question, and an important one, because not every ecosystem's the same. Bears live in, these brown bears, grizzly bears, are very, very versatile. So you can find them on the coast feeding on salmon. You can find them in interior mountains feeding more on berries and other plants. So you would pick a source population of the most suitable bears from a place that's kind of like the Cascades ecologically. And when you find the right source population, the idea usually, this is usually how it goes, is you study that population for long enough to know that that population is a good source, that the bears that you're collaring, you radio collar, you capture them. I've been involved in grizzly bear radio collaring and capturing, and it's quite a charge. It's an interesting process that really enables you to learn about those bears. So you choose your source bears very carefully. The last thing that anybody would want would be bringing in a problem bear or a captive bear that's used to people. So you choose very wild bears, usually females. They're the best contenders for recovery because those are the animals that are breeding. So you want young, breeding age, healthy females. Small number of those would probably be the plan, but that's many years away.
Where are we at now in this reintroduction of grizzly bears to the North Cascades? Has it begun? Is it scheduled to begin at a certain time? Is it still under discussion?
So the grizzly bears were listed in 1975, so under the Endangered Species Act. And you know, since that time, they've sort of been slated, as it were, for recovery in these various ecosystems. And the North Cascades seem to have lagged behind quite a bit. So now the decisions that has been made is to do this environmental impact statement. So that's really the first step in this process of getting public input, the government wants people's opinions and thoughts and ideas about recovering, restoring this population. They want to hear them. They've got a series of public meetings that are going to go on in early March through various towns around the Cascades. And they really want public input. It's part of this EIS process. After that, a big report is written with all kinds of alternatives. Should we do nothing and allow bears to come back on their own? Should we add some bears? If so, how many would it be? But I think the report will probably take 2 to 3 years. And
so
then
we're looking at 4 or 5 years down the line before anything happens on this.
Yeah, for any major steps like bringing bears in, that would be my guess, yes. Yeah.
I'm speaking with Chris Morgan. He's founder of Western Wildlife Outreach, used to be known as the Grizzly Bear Outreach Project, and he's helping to work on a program to restore the grizzly bears to the North Cascades. Now, I can remember when we were reintroducing the gray wolves, there was a lot of concern among people with livestock that these gray wolves would attack the livestock and kill the livestock. Is that a concern for grizzly bear reintroduction?
You know, grizzly bears pose very little threat to livestock or captive animals or pets or anything, really. I mean, unfortunately, myths have not been good for grizzly bears. The stories and folklore that surround bears all probably started in Europe, where I'm from. We have a lot to answer for. So, you know, those stories are stacked against them. So when it comes to, I've spent quite a lot of time with ranches in places like Montana. Amazing, actually, some of the guys over there, their response to grizzly bears, and you hear it a lot here as well, people are proud to live in grizzly bear country. This Wild West is not just a figment of our imagination. People are proud of that Wild West, and, you know, we have it right here. And I've talked to lots of ranchers, one guy described that he would go out each morning and see a cow, grizzly bear, cow, and this big grizzly bear male would come in and have his head in the feeding trough next to the cows. The last thing a bear can usually take on is a full-grown cow, so they don't. Now, occasionally, yes, they'll take a calf. But these ranchers in Montana told me that they're more concerned about rattlesnakes and lightning strikes even and coyotes than they are about grizzlies when it comes to their calves.
And how about us? If we're hiking somewhere in the North Cascades and there are more grizzly bears there, one might be concerned about encountering one.
Yeah, and you should be, because they can be dangerous. And I guess, yeah, there's lots of tools that you can employ to make sure that you're not in danger in bear country. And I use them all the time. I've spent thousands and thousands of hours in very dense bear country in various parts of the world. And touch wood, everything's been okay so far. But you make lots of noise on a bear trail or in the wilderness where there are bears to warn the bear of your approach so they have time to get out of the way. And they will. They're quite polite animals who don't want conflict any more than we do. But the other thing is that they're all very much individuals, you know, that they're as different as any two people you can meet, you know, in terms of personality. So there's an unpredictability about them. But overall, there's a lot we can do to stay safe. And, you know, you hang your food when you're camping to keep it out of the reach of a hungry bear, carry bear spray. That's essential. I've never had to deploy a bear spray in my entire life. But when you have it on you, it's the best form of defense when it comes to a bear charging at you.
What's bear spray?
So bear spray is this highly intense capsaicin pepper-based spray that creates a cloud that you spray in front of you on a trail if a grizzly bear, for example, was charging towards you.
So pepper spray for bears?
Yeah, it is. But it's not like the pepper spray that you see the police carrying or personal defense pepper spray that you keep in.
I would think it might be stronger if it's for a grizzly bear.
I can't remember the stats. It's either 1,000 or 100 times stronger than that stuff. So, yeah, it's enough to put a big bear out of action, yeah.
How many grizzly bears would it take to consider them restored to the North Cascades?
We have enough space here for hundreds of grizzly bears. Historically, that's the case, and we've still got a big chunk of protected land that could support hundreds of grizzly bears still. But the definition of what recovered will be for this population is really yet to be determined. Sometimes it comes down to the number of breeding females that you have in a population versus the total number of bears. But we could have 100 or 200 grizzly bears in the Cascades, but that'll take decades, you know, perhaps 100 years to get to that point. They're so slow at reproducing. So even if you're adding a small number of bears every few years, time is on our side to make adjustments in our psyche and mentality for bringing these bears back.
Chris Morgan is the founder of Western Wildlife Outreach. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and National Park Service are taking public comment on a plan to restore grizzly bears to the North Cascades. The first meeting will be held March 3rd in Winthrop, Washington.